This is CliffCentral.com.
But I made a vow, if I ever reach adulthood, I would never let another barber cut my hair.
Hey guys, before I welcome you back, you don't want to miss this story. Stay locked. All nine of my friends sitting on my porch knew I didn't have the best clippers to cut their hair. But it didn't matter. On a hot summer Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., they waited patiently as I finished one after another. On average, it took 30 minutes for each one, depending, of course, on how much fading they required. I didn't do funny lines or drawings in anyone's head, but my fade were the best in town, which was the case despite me not having professional equipment. They would wait hours in my homemade barbershop. At 16 years old, I had just discovered a love for art. My art teacher, Mr. Akers, said I was gifted and talented at drawing, and this translated very well to cutting hair. You see, I saw fading, which is my strength. Particularly on the sideburns and over the ear, I saw this as pure art. Just after 1 p.m., my father arrives from a half-day morning work shift, and he sees there are only a couple people remaining. He knew this is how I made my spending cash for hanging out with my friends. This independence made him proud, basically because I didn't have to ask him for cash. You see, I charged $5, so to be able to make $45 in one day back then was a lot of money for a teenager. So just as he was passing my makeshift barber area on the porch to enter the home, I was feeling super confident. I put my clippers off and asked, "I'm almost done. These are my last couple. When I finish, I can cut your hair if you like." His response would light a fire in me that would last for the rest of my life. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where my obsession with understanding how to get the most out of your brain and the link to how brands evolve through people has inspired this show, where I share my research along with interviewing thought leaders as well as ordinary people on the street to get grassroots response. Today I'm excited to bring you a show about freeing your mind from parent pain. If you're a listener of this show, you would know the psychological impact of the people around you can be extraordinary. From transferring stress to projecting their issues onto you, my goal for this show is to help you understand how parents or lack thereof may have created voids and offer you a personal story with hope and how to overcome parent pain. And most importantly, how you can use these pain patterns to fuel your highest level of mastery and success. When it comes to parents, psychological patterns created are very complex. The love and affection we seek from parents is chemically wired into us. We have chemicals in us designed to bond us to parents, such as vasopressin and oxytocin. And when we're born, these chemicals seek to connect us to an origin source, which are parents and caregivers. This makes sure that we are able to survive. The chemical exchange between a child and a father and a mother leads to very different types of bonding. As a kid, it's in this bonding where we find our security and source of identity. It's in this exchange where we know who we are and we know who we can count on. So it's for this very reason, the psychological imprinting, or to put simply, the ish they transfer onto us, lands and impacts a child so deeply. If you tell a child they are useless or treat them like they are dirt, this trauma will play out into their adulthood in chaotic ways. Fortunately, the opposite is also true. If you lift and tell a child they are beautiful, they will not feel the need to seek beauty affirmation from every person they meet on the street. When I asked my father, could I cut his hair, it was the artist in me asking, could I perform art on the most important man in my life? A man who was a towering figure in the community. At church, he was a deacon. He was a leader in a couple of choirs. He was a coach in community baseball and softball teams. To be able to perform art on the head of this man would be a high honor. He looked at me in front of my friends and said, "You will never touch my head. You can cut their hair because they don't know any better." My friends laughed. He walks in the house. The door shuts. I put the clippers back on and act as if nothing happened, as if it meant nothing. Now, as an aside, this was 1990, but my father's hair looked like it was 1975, a time when big afros and big sideburns were popular. So he needed a haircut. He needed to be caught up. So I think my friends were laughing at the fact that somebody needed to cut his hair, even if it wasn't me. For the next 15 years, I would replay this line. You will never touch my head. They don't know any better. This line would play out in my mind over and over and over. It became a source of fuel and inspiration. Instead of using it to deflate me, I used it as a powerful driver. I regard that line to be the reason I became a best-selling author. Even when I didn't feel like writing, I would keep writing with that line, "You will never touch my head," in the back of my mind. I developed a work ethic second to none because I was determined to prove to him that I was an artist and that those boys knew exactly what they were doing. And more importantly, I deserved to cut his hair. For those 15 years, he and I barely spoke. I lived more than 2 hours away from him much of that time. And when I moved to South Africa, the distance grew between us even further. But then something happened and everything changed. Before I continue this story, when you finish listening to this podcast, I want you to grab a pen and find a notebook. Or if you have a diary in your phone or computer, begin jotting down notes of what you think your hidden drivers are that were created when you were a child by a parent or guardian, or the fact that no parent or guardian was around. Not having a father around or a mother passing soon can leave a deep bonding void or trigger a powerful bonding fire, which the moment you become conscious and fully aware of can lead you to a higher level of consciousness and free you to become more in control of your emotions. My father lives in Greensboro, North Carolina with my mom. To this day, I have never asked him why he would not let me cut his hair. 20 plus years later now, and I still had not asked him what was the issue with me. Why wouldn't you let me touch your head? Well, a couple days ago, I asked him to send me a voice note letting me know why. Here's what he said.
He's never understood why I always been reluctant when it comes to him cutting my hair. It certainly wasn't because of lack of skill, because my son was very good. It all started when I was a teenager. My dad was a hard-working man who barely made ends meet. To save money, he decided to purchase a set of clippers and cut all six of his son's hair. During that period, you didn't need schooling, nor did you require any skill. I hated for my dad to cut my hair, but I realized he did the best he could. But I made a vow to myself, if I ever reach adulthood, I would never let another barber cut my hair. So Tim, it wasn't you, but in keeping up with my vow, I had to eliminate you also. Love you, son.
For all those years, I thought it was me. And you know enough about psychology to know that people project their stuff onto you. But when it comes to parents, sometimes we don't see things so logically. Before I end, I have a big surprise that you did not see coming. My father and I have become very close. And this happened because a couple years after I moved to South Africa, my mom and dad came to visit. It was his first time to Africa. It was also his first time to seeing the result of my artistry as a writer and speaker. Remember, I had not lived close to him or been around him very often for the past 15 years at that time. So he now had a front row seat to all the hard work I had put in. One night, after dinner, he disappeared. I asked my mom, "Where's your husband?" She says, "I don't know, go check upstairs. You know how crazy he is." I walk upstairs. He was sitting in a chair outside the bathroom with a towel wrapped around his neck. And he said, "I am ready for that haircut." I didn't say a word. I grabbed my clippers. Tears flowed down my left cheek. Because 15 years later, the artist in me was finally free. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with the next episode.
This is CliffCentral.com.